And so I've heard many times, you know, speculations about, oh, is so-and-so the end-time Elijah? There's going to be an end-time Elijah. There's still this idea that Elijah's going to come. In the book of Revelation, you see the prophets of God in the end times blowing, you know, the fire comes out of their mouths and devours their enemies, like Elijah. Except Elijah, the fire came from heaven. But remember in the book of Revelation, the devil is going to be calling down fire from heaven because God is in heaven in relation to him. But in relation to God's prophets, God is in them. And so the fire comes from within. So again, the characteristic of their, you know, and also another of their ministry, it was different. I'll finish the sentence. But there was also this idea of, you know, in Elijah's days, it didn't rain. There was famine. You know, he caused it not to rain. The Lord had him pray, and it did not rain. And the same thing in the book of Revelation. These have power to shut heavens. You know, the ministry of Elijah is very implied in the ministry of the two witnesses. I definitely think this idea that before Christ comes, there's going to be another spirit and power of Elijah rise. But people aren't going to recognize it. They're not going to see it as such. I suppose the wise will understand, but none of the rest will understand. And I mean the wise who are the wise in God. You don't have to be wise according to the ways of this world or according to the wisdom of this world. You don't have to be a genius at mathematics. You don't have to be a genius at the scientific method. You don't have to be a genius at computer programming. All you've got to do is be wise in the ways of God and understanding his word and being wise and privy to what is being said before it happens. And if you're faithful, and if he has found you worthy to be faithful and counted you faithful by his grace, then you will know. Fear nothing. Because your eyes shall see all of it, and your heart will believe, because God is with you. Verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. So a lunatic, it means one moonstruck. And that's what it meant in the language. Remember, this isn't God's diagnosis. This is what man's word for, epilepsy was lunacy. You know, because they thought it had something to do with the moon. Because, you know, when you're diagnosing things without using scientific method, which is not a bad thing when it comes to understanding the way things work in this world and the physical manifestations of things, an excellent way of discovering things about that. You know, they would say, oh, the moon's full. Hey, maybe it has something to do with the moon. And it just became kind of ingrained into the name of the disease. So sometimes he falls, you know, he gets struck with an epileptic seizure. He falls in the fire. He falls in the water. Terrible. You know, he's getting burned. He's getting nearly drowning. You know, he's very concerned about his son. You know, and the Romans viewed epilepsy as the curse of the gods. Julius Caesar, who's supposedly had it, it was supposed to be this great secret, and sort of it didn't get kept very secret. Because 2,000 years ago later, they're still saying, Julius Caesar had epilepsy. And I'm not saying that based on any knowledge I have, except for what historians say. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart, and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth out not out, but by prayer and fasting. So, you know, moonstruck, well, epilepsy, well, apparently he was possessed of a devil, which may indicate epilepsy plus a demonic possession, or may indicate that there's a demonic root to it. And to me, it's not a question of trying to understand medicine. because it's the power of God to remove from men sicknesses and disease, demonic possession, and mental illness. It doesn't matter, really. The spirit of a devil, a demon, it is an evil spirit. You know, this is the devil. You think of these little horned creatures. It's not what it indicates. It's unfortunate sometimes the wording hell and devil have become so loaded in our language that they begin to lose any proper context in the learning of the scriptures. So I try to just let the word be defined by how it's being used. But devils certainly have some sort of spirit to them because they speak. I mean, the blood of Abel could speak. Therefore, the blood, some sort of spirit can also speak. In the Old Testament, there are examples as well. And he says they're faithless and perverse. How am I going to be with you? Unbelieving and perverted. You just twisted, perverted means, we usually think of it as perverted in the sexual sense, but it means to be twisted in whatever sense. Perverse. Twisted. Out of the proper alignment. And for Jesus, it's about the spirit of the times they lived in. The unbelief of their times. In our time, there's a great deal of unbelief as well. I mean, people believe a lot of things. They have faith in a lot of things, And they believe in God. Just like Peter, James, and John, and Jude, and all them. They believed in God. There was no question about God. A lot of things they didn't have faith about. They were hard for them to accept. Just like these days. People, they're willing to believe about God, but then when it comes to having faith in God for their own sake, I don't know, When I want to say to someone, God is with you, they have trouble accepting that, Because somewhere in the back of their mind, they still have this reserved idea that it's about me. It's about if I'm good enough, if I'm strong enough, if I qualify enough, then God will accept me. When they forget that, no, God makes us acceptable because it is His will that we ought to be acceptable. So His power comes to us and makes us to be as He wants us to be. That is how it works. It is by His grace and mercy that we obtain anything. It's not because of our own virtue. And so when you go forth to cast out a devil, you think, am I good enough? Am I powerful enough? Does God hear me? When Jesus went, He says, Father, I know you always hear me. But I say this not for my own sake, but for